Welcome to yet another exciting episode of Race to 12th August. It's an exciting year. I'm excited. I want to add my voice to what is transpiring in our country. So this is an election like no other before. And all the political players are in full gear now. We're just a couple of days before August. It's already almost halfway through June, going to July, and after July, 12 days into August, it will be D-Day. Elections would have happened and would have elected new leaders. Some people will retain their seats, in the cases of the MPs, the councillors, and the mayors. When it comes to head of state, current president, His Excellency Dr. Edgar Changalugu, may win another five-year term, or the UPND strongman, Mr. Akka Ndayishimiye, might win his first term. He's been trying to get to presidency, Akka Ndayishimiye, for a long time. I feel we can even learn one or two things from his persistency, how he's been just going at it, regardless of all the pitfalls that he's gone through. And most people, when you hear from people that support him, and when you see what's happening on social media, if you use social media as your yardstick to judge what's going on, most people said yes, he's more likely to win now than he has ever been. But when you look at His Excellency the President, Dr. Edgar Changalugu, when you follow his social media and things that he's been putting out and his media team have been putting out, they feel they have just started. They have laid the groundwork for the developmental agenda. They say, look at the infrastructure that we've created. Look at all the youth that we've empowered. Look at the bumper harvest that we've had. So those are that is a platform on which the head of state is running. And it will all be about left to the people of Zambia to decide, are they comfortable with the current state of affairs, or should we give room to the UPND? And this is what we discuss on this podcast. We try and look at the cons, the pros and the cons, and we give people who mainstream media might not be giving an audience, and maybe we just also add our own point of view to the current state of affairs. And we cannot overemphasize the role that COVID-19 has had in this year's elections. It has been decided that rallies shall not take place, no rallies this time around. We should do roadshows, and in the recent past, even roadshows might be cancelled. Because people are saying, yes, people, those super spreader events, so many people are coming to gather up, and COVID guidelines are not being followed, and we might see a spike in the number of cases in our country, which might overwhelm our health services. But the people on the opposition side of things says, no, this is a form of election rigging, because ruling party has been having these gatherings, have been meeting their people, they're campaigning, they're flat out on the ground. And why is it that all these other activities, people are meeting in churches, markets are still going on, everything else, bars are open, people are always out on the weekend, and there is no problem with that? Why is it that having a rally for an hour or two is such a big problem? So people are thinking that's a tool by the ruling party to disadvantage the opposition. The point the ruling party are just saying, no, you can use the radio station, you can use roadshows, drive around, pulling out your messages, and the door-to-door campaigns. You don't have to like bring out a crowd of people. You can actually follow them in their respective houses to campaign and deliver a political message. This is not sitting well with everybody from both angles, but when you look at it, everybody seems to have a point. Yes, life has continued. It's been over a year with this COVID thing. People are tired. They just want to get back to normal life. And life has pretty much gone back to normal. When you go out every weekend, all the nightclubs are packed. All the drinking spots are packed. And it's very rare, unless you go to these like big shops like ShopRite and the malls, it's when you see people put on the mask. But on the streets, nobody's wearing these face masks. You see one or two people in there, but people are just like tired. Like, when is this thing going to end? When are we getting back to life as it used to be? So these elections are going to be very, very critical. When you look at the ruling party, their biggest challenge has been the economy. That is what everybody is complaining about. Everybody is feeling that economic pinch. Can they manage to convince the people to give them another five-year mandate to say, we're going to get everything right? The commodity prices are going to be reduced. Unemployment is going to be addressed. Those are things that the youth want to hear. But the largest voting bloc, who happens to be youth, want to hear about what is the plan, what are going to do for us. We are already in this position where a large number of our able-bodied youth population is unemployed. So much the large sector of our labor force is not utilized at all. It's like remaining dormant. Want employment. People want commodities to go down. People want the economy to open up. And that is the challenge with the ruling party. But they keep saying it's due to COVID. So if they can put out a message that can resonate with the people, I see them carrying the day. And the other thing is that there are political players who are underestimating the power of social media in these elections. Everybody's on the internet. That's one thing that the pandemic has actually proved, how we can use the internet to do things without meeting in person. Everybody's on the internet. People that I can understand Facebook ads and tailor these ads for specific groups, specific demographics. Like, use the internet to pass out your message there. You can't have one message for all different age groups. You should have a tailored message for every age group, for the marketeers, for the women, for the girls, for the adults, for the employed, for the unemployed, for the youth. You need to tailor the messages. You can't have one message, blanket message, to cover everyone. So politicians that are understanding the importance of social media, it's actually cheaper in the long run when you think about it. Get a good graphic designer on your team. Get somebody that understands Facebook ads and everything. You like the amount of money you pay them compared to just going, hiring cars and making noise in the streets. It's cheaper to actually use social media, and the results are there. You get the analytics, you get the data. As the message reaching the people, how many people are reaching, and when they reach, are they clicking on it? And when they click on it, what other action are they taking? That information helps you make decisions better, well-informed decision, and put your money where the most value is being brought. But you know, new things take time to catch on, and people still underestimate the power of social media. And in these elections, the people that think social media is not important are going to pay the highest price. And the people that have understood and are finessing that social media game are going to make the highest gain. So it just depends on what strategy you use. It's going to be an exciting year. When we look at specific cases, it's good to report that the level of violence associated to the campaigns this time around have not been as bad as it was in 2016, and we hope as we draw closer to the actual D-Day, which is 12th August, things will remain relatively as they are. We will not report any more incidences, and we'll have a free and fair, credible election, and the people that we will lose should accept the outcome of our election. And the people that are in charge of organizing our elections should do due diligence and make sure that the elections are conducted in a free and fair environment. So this is Race 12 August. Remember to subscribe and tell a friend about this podcast. If you're a politician, hit us up so that you can come here and let's discuss and let's engage in a more civil and civilized way about the future of the democracy of our great republic, which is Zambia. So I've been your host, Kusante Ntangi Chilewe, also known as DJ Kip Classic. This is Rest of August. Subscribe, share. Until tomorrow, have a blessed day.